Shalom, everyone, and welcome home. A beautiful thing what I'm seeing, the determination of the great house of Yahweh, and not letting anything stop them from the worship of Yahweh and the great praise of Yahshua, our high priest. He welcomes you here this day, and will one day soon welcome us into the great kingdom of Yahweh, Yahweh Shammai. That's not too far in the making right now. I normally start this yearly gathering recognition of our high priest. I normally start it with the way he suffered and died, the great agony he went through. You can imagine all of that. It was a time, this man, you know, he knew he was going to do this. He knew he was going to be killed in a certain manner. So it had to be on his mind from time to time, though he tried to put it out, I'm sure. But he, at the age of 33, he was hung on a stake, and his blood was shed for us. And he went through the whole thing. There's never been a man like him that I know of. He died in that certain manner voluntarily for your sins, to pay the price of your sins, which is death. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. I want you, for those who have your books of Yahweh, I would like for you to turn over to 1 Corinthians here to start with. It's the Apostle Shaul gave the opening for our lessons here tonight, 1 Corinthians 11, and I normally close with this, but anyway, turn there and let's get a view. And if you could write these down or study this later, this is not a quick sermon or anything. And what you're going to learn here tonight will lead you into the services tomorrow and throughout this feast. In fact, it's shown in the Yematria, and it's as well in Scripture, and you're shown in the same Yematria, along with Yahshua, and get it in your mind that everything that occurs with man, it is mankind that does it. Satan is not allowed to touch mankind. She can influence mankind, deceive them, but they have to choose. And every benefit comes from mankind, every blessing. Yahweh has set it up that way, that his sons and his daughters are either going to bring blessings or cursings. They're either going to save life or lose it. In 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and verse 23, we see, "For I received from Yahshua that which I also deliver to you, that Yahshua Messiah, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." On the same night, now, he was betrayed, knew he was going to be betrayed. He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this represents my body, which is broken for you. this do in remembrance of me. Now, he gives you a command here to do this. And his name is Yahshua. They actually put it in the King James Version as Joshua. They pronounce it differently than that, but it's pronounced that way correctly, Joshua, the way they spelled it. But his name is actually Yahshua. And of course, the enemies took his name, that is, they replaced his name, along with replacing Yahweh's name. But he said, this do. So he gives us a command to do this once a year in remembrance of him. And that is what we're here for tonight, to do this very thing in remembrance of Yahshua Messiah, who died for our sins. And in Acts 2, the apostle said, there's no other name under heaven whereby you must be saved. So salvation is not coming to the world. Salvation has been rejected. The one that died is rejected, and they put two gods' names in his place. Now that is the mess that the world has to offer to the world. But they're offering it. They choose to be deceived. There's no way they could be not understand this. There are tons of proof that his name was Yahshua, not the false gods that they used to replace his name with. That's two false gods. Now look at verse 25. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup represents the renewing of the covenant. Renewing of the covenant. This was a covenant that Yahweh gave to mankind in the beginning. This is the same covenant that Yahshua offered to mankind. And of course, they killed him. They had persecuted the prophets before him, killed some of them, mistreated them. They ran for their lives, they hid in caves and so forth. These people, the house of Yahweh in this generation, which is only about two more years in going, is going to be resurrected by the house of Yahweh. If you read the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, those people were faithful, and they're mentioned in many other places, as we'll see here in this sermon this week. But renewing of the covenant, that's what Yahshua did in actually dying, paying for the sins of us as well as others down through this in that time period while he lived, that 33 years. Renewing of the covenant. And he said, in my blood, this do in remembrance of me. Renewing the covenant is what Yahweh offers us in this generation only. Did I say only? Did you hear that word, only? Yes. There's been no house of Yahweh. There's been no house of Yahweh. There's been a building called the house of Yahweh, the temple, but that's not the house of Yahweh. The house of Yahweh was prophesied to come and do a work. And of course, that work is being done at this time. That work is that is prophesied. Amos 3:7 says Yahweh will have no other work unless it is prophesied in advance by his servants of prophets. All the apostles spoke of that same thing, but it's a plainer in Amos 3:7, but it was also written in the in book 2. The world was cut off from Yahweh and life for 6,000 years. 6,000 years. They rejected it in Genesis. The third chapter. Right off, they rejected it. They killed Abel, the prophet, Yahweh's prophet. That stopped it right there in its tracks. They cut off life from themselves. In Daniel 7:25, let's turn there. Daniel 7, verse 25. This is a very important chapter here because it shows the deceiving that took place is still taking place. The changing of the eternal appointment with Yahweh every seventh day. Yes, that was changed. They stopped the keeping of the appointment with Yahweh, the seventh day Sabbath. They admit they changed it. It's in history and it's against them, but they're the ones that did it. And here's what Daniel the prophet was inspired to write about them. In Daniel 7 and verse 25, he says, and he will speak great words against Yahweh and will wear out the saints of Yahweh and think to change times, that's feast days, and some translations actually say feast, and laws, and they will be given unto his hand until. Did you see that until? Please look at that closely. It has great meaning. Until, he's telling you when this, how long they're going to be able to play their rat games, to deceive the world. Yes, the whole world is deceived. You're a fool if you don't believe that. Yeshua called you that. He said, you fools and slow of heart, who won't believe every word that is spoken of by the prophets. Revelation 12:9 says the whole world. And up until, if you see that word again, up until this until right here, it stayed. There was no changing the world at any time in history. We couldn't reach the world any other time. The 12 disciples, they murdered them. Their writings, the Holy Scriptures, the sacred scriptures, the inspired scriptures, what I'm reading from right now, what the versions came from. Every version is just a version of the book of Yahweh. The book of Yahweh is the writing of the prophets of Yahweh down through the centuries. And the Yahweh gathered them up, of course. He saw to it that nothing occurred to them. He allowed them to be put in prison. Yes, the scriptures were put in prison, locked up, sealed up. The writings of the apostles, that mostly took place and ended in the year 33 AY, when Yeshua was taken and killed, that was the last of the writings of the apostles, except the writings that occurred a very few years later. The last one was 96 when the book of Revelations was written. That was put in prison too. All of them were put in prison, locked up, sealed, and the Catholic Church, Roman Catholic Church, would not allow them to be displayed or translated. That went on until the 16th century. That's when the Bible started being translated, what we call the King James Version. because it had to be for Yahweh's work to renew this covenant, for Yeshua to renew this covenant with the people that Yahweh is calling. Yahweh tells you until he, like the coronavirus, he tells you how long it will last. You know, it's already diminishing, but I don't want to go into that right now. We will in this week, this coming week. We have 7-8 days for with you here, and we will cover a lot of this. But he tells you how long it will last. It will subside just like it started. It will disappear just like it started very soon now. But notice the word until. You can depend on that word. It's not going to come to pass before that. It's going to come to pass in that time period. Until 3.5 years. 3.5 years. What could he be referring to there? Until the 3.5 years, the time, the times, and the dividing of time. Then it's going to change. It's changing right now. It's changing. It's changing hands right now. The coronavirus, the first plague, that's the start of it. That's just the start of the changing of hands. This was not caused by Yahweh. The way it's written in some versions, it's like Yahweh did this himself to punish mankind. Not so. Yahweh foretold it. He foretold it. He poured it out upon the earth. He poured out his judgment on the earth, telling you this ahead of time. Yeshua said, I tell you in advance, so when it occurs, you'll believe it. You should believe it. Seeing it is believing. Like Matthew 24:29 shows you that in this 3.5 years right here, that we'll have nuclear bombs that can darken the sun. When he said that there was no nuclear bombs, a person would almost have to be a fool, wouldn't he, to not believe that what he said 2,000 years ago? 2,000 years ago, he said that. It wasn't in his lifetime. It didn't start till 1934, the year I was born. Check me out. Please check me out. I know that there's millions of you out there right now that is watching and hearing this message. Don't take it lightly. Write these things down and study them, and you'll see where the truth is, and you'll see the lies told all over this world. This until a time and times and the dividing of time. That is otherwise known as 3.5 years in several other prophecies. Until this 3.5 years. Now I want you to go over to Matithya, the 16th chapter. Matithya 16, because this is our high priest, Yeshua Messiah, that's speaking here. Remember how they killed Kepha? Then they tried to make out like he was a pope. Well, they killed him because they murdered Kepha. And of course, they murdered, they have records of, maybe 10 or 11 of the disciples, all of them except Yochanan. They have records of their death. And of course, Yochanan was the one that recorded revelations by a messenger that was sent to him by Yeshua Messiah, our high priest, who sits at the right hand of Yahweh. learning and defending and protecting, beholding, uplifting. Very excited right now. Yeshua Messiah, that's his name. Yeshua, our high priest, that's Hebrews 10:21. But look what he says he's going to do here. This is Yeshua Messiah, and this is the year 32. This work here was finished in 33 also. But 32 is the year that this, that Kepha and the other apostles were writing. They were writing, putting down everything, their experience with Yeshua Messiah. And he said, Yeshua said, and I also say to you who are Kepha, that was his name, and they changed it to Peter as an insult to the apostle Kepha or disciple Kepha, that upon this rock, meaning Yahweh unity, that's what it means, that's what the word means. If you have a book of Yahweh, you can look in the sitting reference. It will lead you through this and give you the proof. You need that center reference. Kepha, your name is Kepha, that upon this rock, meaning Kepha, or Kepha meaning rock, Yahweh unity, I will build this house. What's he talking about here? I will build this house. Well, the name of it is the house of Yahweh, of course. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, in 70 AY, the temple that stood on Mount Zion in Israel, the mountain called Zion, that came to be called Zion in Israel, that's where it stood. And they referred to it as the house of Yahweh. It wasn't the house of Yahweh, but they referred to it as the house of Yahweh. Read the book of Acts and you'll see it points it out very clearly that Yahweh doesn't dwell in a house made with hands, but you went ahead and built this temple anyway. Well, in 70 AY, AY is after Yeshua. 70 AY, it was moved to Rome by General Titus, along with 30,000 troops, and about that many slaves, I would say, maybe more than that. Some say 3 million slaves. That was moved, the temple was moved, and of course all the artifacts in the temple was moved. Everything was moved to Rome, where it now is. That's a matter of history. Look up General Titus and start reading. We'll send you the literature. Everything in the house of Yahweh is free. Well, he says, I'm going to build my house, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Build his house. Well, of course, there's only it in Amosha. Remember in Amosha, he says, 3 and verse 7, he says, I'll have no work other than that prophesied in advance by my prophets. In Micaiah, in the book of Micaiah 4, verse 1, is the prophecy of the house of Yahweh and the time that it would be rebuilt. There is nothing else to contradict that. When they cut it off, when they killed Abel, they cut off the tree of life, the house of Yahweh, the priest of Yahweh who teaches righteousness. They cut off the tree of life, as you will, if you read what the Savior said about the trees, the two trees, one evil, the other unrighteous. The evil one killed the righteous tree. The evil tree killed the righteous tree under the leadership of Satan. That cut off the tree of life, the house of Yahweh. Right there. The great house of Yahweh is mentioned with Abel only. When that was cut off, there was no more tree of life. Yahweh said, after the flood, in the days of the great school that started, the Nimrod military training school, after it started, he said, after this, nothing will be withheld from them until, until. And you just read that in Daniel. Nothing's going to be withheld from them until, and Daniel gives you the 3.5 years. 3.5 years to look for. I'll show it to you in just a little bit now. But here is the prophecy. Yahweh will have no other. He will have no other work except that prophesied. Here's where it's prophesied. Micaiah 4, verse 1. But in the last days, wow, in the last days, what is the last days? You find the word until in front of it. Until, we just read it in Daniel. Until the 3.5 years, you find bombs because of Messiah, the Messiah, Yeshua Messiah, who died for your sins, spoke of this until time, 3.5 years. He spoke of it there. He spoke of it in Revelations too. His disciples spoke of it. This 3.5 years. The time of the two witnesses. They were actually born and raised to teach the 3.5 years. That we're living in right now. We just went into it when Trump failed to sign the waiver. Failed to sign the waiver. That's how recent it is. It's speaking of a 7-year peace plan that was also shown by Daniel. And that 7-year peace plan was cut in half. And we're in the last 3.5 years right now. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but if you want to catch up with me, it's in the book, The Mark of the Beast. The Mark of the Beast was written back in 1976. 1976. And it has that peace plan, the peace plan, 7-year peace plan, that peace plan didn't come into effect, wasn't signed, wasn't invented until 1993 with a man named Rabin. But I wrote about it in the 70s with the inspiration coming from my high priest, Yeshua Messiah, who is given command in the scriptures to behold. That word behold has great meaning. You really should look it up and look at all the meanings, the word behold in Zechariah. Well, here in Micaiah now, he says, but in the last days, it will come to pass that the mountain, please, please remember this word, the mountain. Oh, it's so beautiful when we see it in book 2. It is really beautiful when you see it and compare it and say, this is what Micaiah was speaking of. This is what Daniel was speaking of. Isaiah, Genesis, the one who wrote Genesis. The house of Yahweh will be established in the last days. In the chief of the nations, and it will be raised, promoted. It's going to be promoted above the hills. Promoted. Yeshua promoted certain events by telling in advance that they would be here. And he says, you're a fool if you don't believe these prophecies. Can you? I'm speaking to millions of people out there. Can any of you foretell the future? No. It's beyond the human intelligence. It's not within their ability to foretell the future. Yahweh can foretell the future. He's the only one. He's now given that judgment to the Savior, Yeshua Messiah, who is high priest over the house of Yahweh, as the scriptures plainly show. Well, it's going to be raised above all congregations. That's how it's going to be raised. We foretell the future, his house. The house of Yahweh foretells the future before it occurs. I wrote about these plagues and told about them in sermons 14 years before the first one took place. 14 years. I wrote about the 7-year peace plan in 1976. Figure it up. It wasn't even signed. Wasn't put together. It wasn't signed till 1993. 1993 with a man named Rabin. It will be raised above the congregations. What's he talking about? The houses of Baal. 4,199 of them in the world today. All worshiping gods. All of them. They can't foretell the future. They can't foretell anything. They can foretell funny little stories. You know, their preacher, their sermons come from funny books. That's what we used to call them when I was a child. Call them funny books. I think they call them something else now. I don't know what. Be raised above all congregations, and all people will eventually flow to it. It's not established till the last days. You see that? The house of Yahweh. Yeshua is the one that says, I'm going to build my house, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, he was killed shortly after that. The very next year, he was killed. His disciples arrested and murdered, wiped out. The prophet's writings were locked up in Rome. That's the book one of the book of Yahweh, Isaiah 34:16. Search out the book of Yahweh. Look that up in the interlinear. You'll see the name of it. They changed it, book of the Lord. They took out Yahweh's name. They removed our Savior's name too. They called him Lord. The word Lord comes from the word Rabbi. That should tell you something. Christianity is praying to dead rabbis when they use the word. They don't even have contact with the true Savior. They don't have contact with Yahweh, the Creator. Their gods are dead. Do you wonder why the world is in such a mess? Yahweh didn't cause these viruses. Mankind did. Yahweh warned that you're going to cause it. In fact, that was a prophecy of Revelation 16:2 that started the knowledge of the first plague and what it's going to what the suffering it's going to cause, how long it will be, how long it will last. All of it's put there for you. All you got to do is read it and believe it. You'll see it come to pass. This was in Micaiah now, 4:1-3. You won't see Yahshua, he says. You turn over to Matthew with me again, 23. Matthew 23. You won't see Yahshua. You won't see the Savior. He's telling you this. The great part about it is he quoted a scripture about himself here. In Matthew 23 and verse 39, he says, "For I say unto you, from this moment you will not see me." You can believe that. "From this moment you will not see me." I'm reading from the book of Yahweh, and this is the way it was written in the scriptures that was translated, that the King James Version was translated from, as Unger's Bible Dictionary. Write that down. Unger's, UNGER'S. Unger's Bible Dictionary. You look up the word Lord, and it says, you know, it never should have been replaced. The name Yahweh is the true name of the Creator and never should have been replaced by the translators. Meaning they replaced it with Lord. Well, he says, "For I say to you, from this moment, you will not see me until you say." If you don't say it, you're never seen. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh." Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. If you go over to Psalms, he actually quoted that from Psalms 118. Psalms 118. Got it written down? Psalms 118, verse 26. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh." Now, write down in a linear. INTERLINEAR. In a linear. Hebrew, English. It gives you the original writings, then it gives you word-for-word translation, and you will see the name Yahweh, not Lord. You have to look at the deception to see the word Lord, the replacement. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. We have blessed you out of the house of Yahweh." Wow, what a blessing. What a wonderful blessing comes from the house of Yahweh. And it wouldn't be established until the last days. Micaiah 4, last days. And of course, Daniel shows you what the last days are. But you're blessed only. Did you get that? You're blessed only from the house of Yahweh, not from any other source. Now, that's a great place for me to leave off today, and we will continue with that in the coming days of the feast. But we're going to honor Yahshua here this evening by keeping his memorial, which is just... it's just started. All of this is about Yahshua. In 1 Corinthians 11, that's where we started, and the apostle is telling us what, just exactly what was taught him by Yahshua. 1 Corinthians 11, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23, he says, "For I received from Yeshua that which is also delivered unto you, that Yeshua Messiah, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this represents my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup represents the renewing of the covenant.'" Well, now you got it in your mind and cherish it. Bring much more on this renewing of the covenant too. But that's the covenant that he has renewed. He paid for your past sins by giving his life. What you have to do, Acts 3:19, is to repent. And you need to be telling Yahweh right now in your mind that you're very sorry about ever sinning. And you can see what sin is bringing on the world right now. Sin is a horrible thing. It's what's brought all the murders, all the sickness, disease, all the blood shed. Remember this scripture. All the blood shed clear back to Cain on this religion. It's on their head. The same religion that's causing it today is spoken of in Revelation, sitting on the seven hills of Rome. And Yeshua said that this religion, also spoken of in Acts the 7th chapter, you need to read it. They called themselves Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians. All of this bloodshed is on your head, all the way back to killing righteous Abel. He tells you, believe it. Read it again and again and again. Well, this cup represents the renewing of the covenant in my blood, which he paid for your sin. Drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, which is once a year, that's as often as you do it, you do show Yeshua's death. He only died once. He won't die again until he comes. Therefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup unworthily, be repenting right now in your minds to Yahweh. Repent and be ready to practice. Repent and be converted, Acts 3:19. And be ready to practice. Be converted, that's what it means. Be converted means to practice 1 John or 1 Yochanan 3, verse 7 and 8. Let no man deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous. Righteousness is the keeping of the laws. Sin is the breaking of the laws. 1 Yochanan 3, 4. Unworthy. Don't take of it unworthily. Repent. Acts 3:19. And be ready to practice it strongly. Don't sin again. Let him who sins sin no more. That's what Yeshua said. If you do, a worse thing is going to come upon you. Much worse than the first plague that we're experiencing right now. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eateth and drinketh unworthily, without repenting and determining to practice righteousness from now on, you can read the rest of it on your own. For all who can see it, I'm holding up the unleavened bread that represents the body of Yeshua Messiah, who gave his life freely. It was his body was broken for us. I'll lift your hands who can see me and pray. Our Father in heaven, whose name is Yahweh, this is Israel Hawkins, Father, your last day's witness, coming to you, Father, in a different way tonight and enjoying it and praising your name and Yeshua Messiah for making this possible, Father, for us to keep this memorial to Yeshua, our high priest and king, over the house of Yahweh, and to you, Father, who brought this about in your great plan, bringing about a man who would not sin and was able to pay the price of sin, the wages of sin being death for us. We thank you and praise you, Father. We hold this up to all the world and praise you for bringing this night about. Right in the presence of our enemies, you've set a table before us containing life, the tree of life. Oh, Father, we're so thankful. We ask you to bless it. Help us to do it right, Father, and sincerely. We ask this in Yeshua's name, our high priest, Yeshua Messiah. Hallelujah, Yahweh. For those who came to keep the feast, we're suffering the sins of the world that have brought this first of seven plagues into life, into action. And it's spread all over the world, as Yahweh said it would. You can read about it, Revelation 16:2. This is the start of it. It's on those who have the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast, of course, is Sunday keeping. The beast is shown in Daniel, the seventh chapter, as changing the Sabbath and the feast days. The Sabbath, they changed from the seventh day of the week. That's in Genesis 1 and 2, the creation of the and the blessing of the seventh day. The blessing comes from Yahweh, who this is an eternal appointment with Father Yahweh, and the seventh day Sabbath. Well, of course, they changed it and got the people by deception to keeping Sunday, the first day of the week, in honor of the sun god Baal. The sun god Baal birthday is December 25th. December 25th is Christmas, of course, and which is condemned in Jeremiah, or if you have a King James Version, Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 10. Baal, Lord, he's also known as Lord, and the rabbis, that was the highest ranking position they gave the rabbis, called them Lord, and of course that's what the world is worshiping. The King James Version went out to all the world with the words God and Lord. Genesis 3 verse 5 shows you that the gods are evil. Evil like the gods. Our Father in heaven, whose name is Yahweh, this is Israel Hawkins, your last day's witness, coming to you, Father, through Yeshua, our high priest and king over the house of Yahweh. coming before you, Father, along with many people around the world. We lift up before you at this time, Father, the wine that represents the blood of Yeshua Messiah, who was sacrificed, was shed for us, that we may have forgiveness for our sins and may practice your law, Father, and come to perfection like you and Yeshua. We'll bless you and praise you and thank you for this and the knowledge of it in Yeshua's name. Hallelujah, Yahweh. In Yochanan, the 13th chapter, that's the book of Yahweh. This is John, the 13th chapter, where they, in the King James Version, they took the YAH, which stands for Yahweh, they took it up and just put John and said to remove the name Yahweh. Yochanan 13:1 says, now before the feast of Passover, when Yeshua knew that his hour had come, that he should depart out of the world to the Father. This took place. This actually took place. He now sits at the right hand of Yahweh, been there for 2,000 years, training to finish this job, this plan of Yahweh, being high priest over the house of Yahweh, bringing about this changing of the hands of the kingdom. He is given that position as early as Genesis, the 49th chapter. It's now taking place. 6,000-year-old plan is now taking place. And in the next months to come, you will see this change, the great mass suicide is going to take place with the nuclear bombs, the great burning, and this is near the end, and then another, the end of the seven plagues, that's part of it. We'll cover a lot of this during the feast. I would that everyone could be here, but you can be here through other means than bodily being here. So do so and get ready, because Yahweh says he will bring you to his house. Here, and this is his house. This is the only house of Yahweh on earth. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil already having put it into the mind of Yada Isacharit, son of Simon, to betray him. Yeshua, knowing this, that the Father had given all things into his hands. After reading, I said, Yeshua is very joyous at this time because he sees this taking place and knowing that sin and suffering is coming to an end, finally. It's going to be the worst time you've ever seen and lived through, and you can live through it. You can live through it with Yahweh's protection only. That's the only way you're going to get through this next few months. Yeshua, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come out of Yahweh and was going to Yahweh, he got up from supper, laid aside his tallit, then he took a towel, tied it around himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and then began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that he had tied around himself. He then came to Simon Kepha, who he had just told on that It was his unity, means unity. Get this in your head, Kepha. Your name means rock. It means that's what rock means. It can't be moved. A big rock, it can't be moved. That's unity. It'll never be moved from Yahweh's house again. The gates of hell will not prevail against Yahweh's house. We're all going to be in unity with Yahweh and Yahshua forever. He then came to Simon Kepha, and Kepha said to him, "Teacher, do you wash my feet?" Get this, because all of you have got to come to this point. The world wants to be wants to have servants wait on them. They want slaves to wait on them. Yahshua wanted to serve people. He wanted to help people. He is our servant right now. Yahshua Messiah that sits at the side, the right hand of Yahweh, is our servant right now. Yahshua answered and said to him, "What I do, you do not know and understand, but you will understand afterward." Kepha said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Yahshua answered him, "If I do not wash your feet, you have no part with me." Simon Kepha said to him, "Teacher, not only my feet, but my hands and head also." Yahshua said to him, "He who is washed, cleansed, purified, has no need to wash except for his feet, but is clean all over. And you are." Look at verse 12. "After he had washed their feet, he put his tallit back on and sat down again. Then he said to them, 'Do you understand what I have done for you?'" There was another event that took place that evening as he was waiting in agony to be arrested, beat on all night. He was, if you can imagine it, he was probably pretty much weakened by the next morning, next day, and then he had to go through a lot more that next day. So he died sooner than they expected on the stake. And but he went to his disciples. He was with his disciples. In fact, in Matthew 26, verse 1, when Yahshua had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is celebrated as a feast, but the Son of Man is betrayed before." Prior to the feast, to be murdered. In verse 6, it says they came to Bethany. Now, when Yahshua was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw this, they became indignant, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? This ointment might have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor." But Yahshua, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you distress the woman? For she has done a righteous work to me. For you have the poor with you always, Me you do not have always, for in pouring this expensive ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this message will be preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. The house of Yahweh wrote a song about this woman. Her name is Nora. And at this time, we will sing this song, and then we will depart.
Remember to work on the name. We're told to celebrate this memorial to this woman. Don't forget that. You can't celebrate a memorial just to a woman, you know. You got to know the name. So work on that, everyone. And if it doesn't mean what I told you, then you have the wrong name. It means the donkeys are going to cry this out. And we're going to cry this out, Passover.
The woman on the words of great Yahshua, she left her life of sin, never to return again.
Repentance.
Our Father in heaven, whose name is Yahweh, this is Israel Hawkins, Father, your last day's witness, coming to you, Father, through Yahshua, our high priest and king over the house of Yahweh, coming before you, Father, joyously tonight, praising you, Father, for bringing forth Yahshua, Abraham, and praising you for your great plan to put an end to sin and establish a kingdom that will, that the gates of hell could never prevail against ever. It will be forever, as your prophet Daniel said, never without, never to end. We thank you for this. We thank you for the knowledge of it. We thank you for the people who are joining your kingdom, Father, and listening and actually participating in this service here tonight in honor of Yahshua Messiah as high priest over the house of Yahweh. We see the days of sin coming to an end, Father, starting with the seven last plagues and end with the great destruction, sinner destroying sin and sinner together with mass suicide, pledged in war and fighting. We thank you for the knowledge of this also, Father. This is a time in history that will be told about throughout all eternity. And your house, Father, that led by Yahshua Messiah, the first righteous man to hold the office now of high priest and king over the house of Yahweh. And we honor him tonight, Father, knowing that very soon we will all be together and serving as one in unity, 100% unity, along with a mass multitude of people. We bless you and praise you, and we bless the, ask you to bless the people who participated in the services around the world tonight. This is a new thing in the house of Yahweh, and we rejoice with Yahshua, our high priest, this night for this great knowledge and the turning around of the kingdoms, changing hands, and will soon be directed by our high priest in the house of Yahweh. We thank you, Father, and praise you and bless you. We ask these things. We give you thanks and honor and all in the name of Yahshua Messiah. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah.